That's always a good way to start, right? Did you know humming on public streets is prohibited on Sundays in Cicero, Illinois? It gets better. It is illegal to wear sagging pants in Collinsville, Illinois. That's why I put my belt on this morning. It reminded me. Wheelbarrows with for sale signs may not be chained to trees in Des Plaines, Illinois. It is a misdemeanor punishable by a $5 fine if caught mispronouncing the town name that I will only spell from now on. J-O-L-I-E-T. I'm keeping my $5. You're recording that too, aren't you? That's why I have to spell it. Ice skating at the Riverside Pond during the months of June and August are prohibited. I might have got you on this. Juneau, Alaska. No, that would make sense. It's Moline, Illinois. Has it ever froze over in Illinois in June or August? Not that I'm aware of. Okay. I mean, we've got this law stuff down, don't we? This one's close to home. It's against the law to make faces at dogs. In Normal, Illinois. Now listen, I got a couple more to go. I found these on dumblaws.com. Some, I'll let you decide which ones are truly real, but it gets you thinking. Some of these, it's not hard to fathom that we, the people, have come up with some of these. But anyway, all right. So you can't even smile at your dog, right? Right? I mean, that's making a face, is it not? Right? All right. Here we go. This one, I kind of like this one. Anyone 14, see, they're given some leeway here. Anyone 14 or older who profanely curses, damns, or swears by the name of God, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Ghost shall be fined $1 to $3 for each offense with a maximum fine of $10 per day. We should say that's from the federal government, right? But we all know that's a lie. That's courtesy of the state of Indiana, according to the website I found these on. If that's true, they've got so much revenue, no wonder they're in the black. I'm just kidding, sorry. The state of Florida, I mean, we've got this law thing down, don't we? The state of Florida voted and ratified a ban on all internet cafes. But poor wording in the bill also made all internet-connected devices illegal, like the very one that we are using to show you the sermon today. Because I could connect to the internet, so it's illegal, right? They had the best of intentions to regulate and stop internet gambling. But they didn't quite get it done like they thought they did. An article in USA Today titled Reynolds, You Are Probably Breaking the Law Right Now, published March 29th, 2015. And after we get through just a little bit of this, you'll probably be saying, well, we probably are. Reynolds writes that there may be as many as 300,000 federal regulations that have criminal penalties. From the article, it seemed as though the real number is extremely hard to come by. So if we just pick hundreds of thousands of criminal penalties that come with fines, at minimum. Now, you may have heard the saying or that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, Reynolds, in his article, says that in the legal system, in quotes, every man is presumed to know the law, according to a long-established legal aphorism. And that's courtesy of Reynolds in his article. So Reynolds' article then gets into the idea of changing the presumption that every man having a potential 300,000 federal statutes in front of them that come with some sort of penalty, that maybe, just maybe, man doesn't know the law. He didn't know that he broke it. At 300,000, who's got those memorized? Yeah, none of us. And they don't even know the true number, so you're probably wrong anyway. That got me thinking, okay, so Illinois, let's bring it home. What is going to impact me in 2016? With a quick search, I found there are a number of new laws that went into effect the first. 237 was the count that I found on the Chicago News Station's website. Some were add-ons to previous laws. Some I don't even see applying to me, and some were just new, and I have no clue. I had never been so astonished, bored, and tired all at the same time. We know how to regulate. It's a new year. It's hardly the same law, but I thought it was, I guess. I was mistaken. We don't even know all the laws, or at least all the laws of man. We can look to Exodus 20, 3 through 17. As soon as we say Exodus 20, your mind immediately goes to 10 commandments. Well, we got to teach them somewhere, because you're not going to see them in a courtroom, in the school, or any of those places anymore. So I'm going to go through these. We know them. Just a quick refresher. Exodus 20, 3 through 17. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord and the state of Indiana will not hold anyone guiltless or misuse his name. I had to insert that in there. The Bible doesn't truly say that the state of Indiana, but according to that website, sorry. We're still with me, right? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother. If you notice, there's a break real quick. There's a break in there, right? So the first part, it's showing how we're accountable to God. And now, I'll bet we can figure out who we're accountable to. So we've got, starting at 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God that he's giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We kind of get those. I think we really do. You know, just like no skating on a pond that's not frozen in June or August, right? We understand them. Even when God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit to keep the laws, we still struggle as a people to keep those very 10 laws. Even with God's help, we struggle to keep them. Even if we understand them, it's still a struggle to keep them. C.I. Schofield, in his series through Moody Bible Institute, he writes that the time of the law is from Exodus 20, verse 1, through Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, and it's rightly so. That's a period of time, a dispensation where God deals with his people, with the people, through the law. Through, very specifically, God's law, the Ten Commandments. Our fellow man believes that now is the time of law, or it seems to me, with all of the regulations that continually are being produced. It's as though man says that we could understand better if we have more laws. That's what we need. We don't need more cowbell, we need more laws. No Saturday Night Live reference there? Come on. We may have even heard about, maybe even seen in our new time of man law or law by man, that man wants God's law out of existence and truly wants to redact, remove, strike out, hide, throw away God's law. Schofield writes, to further instruct, that there is a time of grace in God's word. And that starts in the New Testament. Now, it would seem as though you transition from law to grace, but the law still remains, and we'll get into that for just a moment here. Jesus was able to take 10, so we go from 10 to 2 on God's side. We'll get to those two as Jesus sums them up. And then man says, wait a minute, 300,000 plus. But God can get it done in 2. So we look now to Mark 12, 30 through 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So those five, the way they broke down, these two, the way they break down compared to the Ten Commandments, they break down between God and man, our relationships with God and our relationships with man. That's what it is. But maybe 99,000. We need a bunch more, right, to help us understand how to truly interact with everybody, how to take care of things, or at least that's the way it seems. If we look to the way as Christ has boiled down this law, he's showing us that grace had come. Not that the law is gone. The law was and is still standing and showing how separated that we really are from God. Standing as the ruler, the measuring device to help us to see for ourselves our standing, our position, without Christ. And God already knows where we stand, where our position is without Christ. We cannot make laws that get us closer to God. We cannot regulate ourselves to God. However, we regulate away our freedom of religion, and that's on the horizon. As prophecy is foretold before the return of Christ to take over and rule when God's will be on earth as it is in heaven for the millennium, there will be a great falling away. Evil will be working to deceive and to mislead, even by the means of political correctness. What is wrong will become right, and what is right will become wrong. We have been warned as to what will happen. Even in our efforts to stymie evil or resist the apostasy, the rebellion seems to have started rather slowly, but is picking up steam and speed. We must center on God's law. As we are now in a presidential election year, I am urging that we each one pay close attention. Not to the party lines, not to the party lines. We are, or were, or are, however you think that should be worded, a nation created under and with Judeo-Christian values, beliefs. And be it God's will, we can remain as such, but we will need to carry out our lawmaking abilities ourselves, our individual abilities. And that is, we must vote this year. That's the impact we can have. We must vote. So there you go. We'll do our voter registration here in just a minute. Sermon's over, right? No. But that's one of the ways that we can stand up as a church together, as believers united in Christ. We must use as our voting reference guide God's written word. Not the party lines. That's not going to get you where you're going. We must follow the law of government as the government was established by God. That is what we must follow, the law, up to the point it separates from God's law. As awful as it might seem, the time is coming when Christians in this nation might truly experience persecution. The type parts of the rest of the world have had to face for quite some time now. We are a privileged minority to have had and still have the freedom and the truth before us, and even more blessed as those who believe and trust what has been said in God's word. May we feel secure in God's promise of eternity with him through his Son. That God in his law stands absolute and does not change. God's law does not change. That you can rest assured on, you can hang your hat on, you can build a building on. If you look to God's word and you follow what he says, that is what will not change. The rest of the world will try and tell you that it has, that it does, that it will. But it won't. So I want to, with a short story, just kind of see how well man, all right, we've already seen it some of the other times, but it's another good one. So with this short story, we're going to see how well man can govern over man. A forest ranger is making rounds in a remote part of the wooded reserve when he comes across an unkempt man sitting at a makeshift campfire and, to the ranger's astonishment, eating a fish and a bald eagle. The man is consequently put into jail for the crime. He was soon brought to trial for that very crime. The judge asked the man, "Do you know that eating a bald eagle is a federal offense?" "Well, yes, Judge. Yes, I do," replied the man. But if you will let me argue my case, I'll explain what happened." The judge replies, you may proceed." And the man starts, "I got lost in the woods. I hadn't eaten anything of real value for 2 weeks." The man explained, "I was so hungry. I was eating plants to stay alive. Next thing, I see a bald eagle swooping down to the lake, grabbing a fish. I thought if I'd startled the eagle, I could maybe steal the fish. Lo and behold, the eagle lighted upon a nearby stump. I threw a stone toward the eagle, hoping he would drop the fish. Unfortunately, in my weakened condition, my aim was off, and the rock hit the eagle squarely on his poor little head, and it killed him. I thought long and hard about what had happened, but figured since I had killed it, I might as well eat it, since it would be more disgraceful to let it rot in the ground." The judge says he will take a a recess to analyze the defendant's testimony. 15 minutes goes by and the judge returns. Due to the extreme circumstances you were under and because you didn't intend to kill the eagle, the court will dismiss the charges. The judge then leans over the bench and whispers, "If you don't mind me asking, what does a bald eagle taste like?" "Well," with a sigh, replies the defendant, "Your Honor, it's hard to explain. I guess the best comparison I can make is it's a bit more tender than a California condor, but lacks the tang of a spotted owl." All right, so those were most likely on the endangered list, right? Not to eat those either. But the judge could tell his intent, right? Just as the judge was unable to see the true intent of the unkempt man, the man who was starving and ate an illegal bird, so we are just as unable to see the intent of others, be it through the law or any of the rest. We serve a God that is that absolutely knows each and every intent of ours and those that are next to us. We may hold fast to what he has given us to follow for laws with our most sincere intent, and he will truly know our intent. And that again, the law we're to follow, and we can look again to Mark 12, 30 through 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. We have but two laws to follow according to God. But he also then did say that we are to follow the government that he has established. But if we're following just God's laws, we've got two. And it's how it relates to him and how it relates to our fellow man. May we always remember which one is stated first and how his love will then make it able for us to show love to others. As we love ourselves, we're to love others. We are in our new year. That we are sure of. Let us carry out the same law, the same two laws that have been in place for close to two millennia. That law has not changed. Regardless of how many statutes have been mandated or regulated by man, God got it right the first time, and he was able to even summarize that. We can hold fast to that. God has not changed, will not change, and he has told us things to come. If we just look to his word, we can understand his law, and we can be prepared for what he has for us. Sometimes we may not like it, but we can be prepared for it. If you would, we'll stand and close. It's a perfect time to ask. We're just getting started. Haven't even made it out of the weekend of the new year. We need him, and we know it, and we need him bad. All you have to do is read the newspaper, watch the news, or for fun, try and understand the law, and you know we need God. As man around us is trying to cast him out, throw him away, we've got to stand strong. It's going to be hard. But as we strengthen our faith, as we read God's word, and as we accept the challenge that he's given us, we'll be able to hold fast as long as we can. And it was foretold in prophecy, and you can look this. I want you to study this. Before it gets the worst of the worst, you'll be gone. He is going to save his people from the worst of the worst. Now you can start to dissect and pinpoint, nitpick exactly when and how, but the reality is he has promised that he will keep his believers, those who follow Jesus Christ, out of the worst part of it. It's getting bad. The water's warming up. Are we the frog? The one that started in the cool, tempered water and slowly the temperature was brought up and didn't recognize until he was boiled to death? At this point, we have to get out of the pot. It's hot, okay? We have to stand firm and be part of the restrainer of the evil of this world through the Holy Spirit that lives in us when we accept Christ as our Savior. That is the power you're going to have to tap into, not the power of the law. We still have to follow it, but we have to be ready for a time when the law might say that what we believe is no longer legal. Who then do you turn to? As it says in Luke, Luke 20:25, I want you to look that one up later. Who do you fear? The one that can kill the body, or the one who can condemn the soul after the body is dead? We have to stand firm this year, but we can do it. We'll gather around each other, we'll strengthen and encourage one another, and we're going to follow God's word. Thank you for coming on this, the new year. We've got a great challenge before us. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And we can. Whether we like it or not, he will give us the power. I pray that we can impact this world, this nation, in a positive manner for Christ, restraining the evil to the best of our abilities and praying continuously for God's power. Have a great week.